On this Sunday, we rejoice that we have this picture that Jesus painted of himself, the Good Shepherd, and we adore his presence in that regard. And we ask especially for the grace to be good sheep, always following his commands, never being deceived by the hirelings, or the pretenders of the priesthood, or those other false prophets who are round about ravishing the fold of Christ. We know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life upon the cross for his sheep, as he said he would. He gives, yes, us green pastures. He gives us devotions. He gives us pious affections. He gives us actual grace of all different types throughout the day. And that way we feed constantly on those little bits of grass, little bits of graces, that we may fill our hearts and our souls and our bodies with joy. And the flowers of the clover field may rejoice our spirit. That Jesus gives us these things on a usual basis, and on some days and other days, when we come to Holy Mass, we're welcome to feed on his body and blood, feeding us in a superabundant way from himself at Holy Communion time. Surely, this is an excess of love that Jesus did not hesitate to show us from the Last Supper on to the end of the world. And oh, yes, Jesus corrects us with his rod. With his staff, he leads us in order that we may, yes, obtain inheritance and life everlasting. That's why he feeds us with his own body and blood, that we may have life everlasting. But is our part is up to us, the good sheep. And as we know, those who take care of sheep, especially in warmer climates, there's constant care and concern for the sheep. If sheep are, like we are, subject to various parasites, we say, concupiscence has wounded us, so that we need constant care, so do the sheep need constant care. Parasites get under the wool, and they have to be very, very carefully taken out by the shepherds, the warmer climates especially. Yes, we know that they tend to wander off as they get grazed on a good little vein of grass or clover off. They tend to wander away. They have to be constantly called back as we do, as we wander away sometimes by our pride or by our ambition or by our curiosity into other sciences. We have to call back gently, even to the point of leaving the 99 in the desert go after us, as Jesus did. For St. Gregory the Great tells us, Jesus left the 99, as it were, the uncomfortable creatures of angels in heaven to come out of that reach of the creatures that was lost by Adam's sin. Came all the way down from heaven to rescue us. And yes, he has constant concern for us. Lest we nibble at those bad and noxious weeds, take in by reading, by seeing, or by listening those poisonous and noxious doctrines given to us by hirelings and by those who pretend to be shepherds. Thus we, of course, wander away from the flock that he has. But Jesus says, of course, that we are to be humble and make our heart like he is. Yes, we need constant practice in humility, constant practice in obedience, constant practice in all the virtues of patience and charity and chastity and the others that come along with those. Constant practice. Yes, constant concern for us. Thus he fills us daily with his graces, actual graces and superabundance of sanctifying grace. We have wolves, don't we? We have wolves that want to scatter the sheep, devour the sheep, that want to lead us astray. We have wolves. Yes, St. Peter tells us every night at our evening office, who go and circle us each and every day, seeking how he might nip us in the heel and get us and drag us away from the fold of Christ. Yes, we have these wolves through the preachers who preach a philosophy and theology different from what Christ has given to us. We have wolves of the spiritual sense, as St. Gregory says. Another type of wolf, he says, is in evil spirits. if our spirits go around about us constantly, seeking how to get us to deceive us, to scatter us from the flock of Christ. Yes, we have wolves, especially in those individuals who are pretenders to the priesthood, who pretend to be priests, who pretend to be guides, who pretend to be teaching Catholic or quasi-Catholic doctrine, and in fact, are nothing of the sort. And thus, we as good sheaves and sheep have to get always on our guard, lest we fall into those snares set for us by the evil spirits, those wolves who want to snatch us, devour us, and steal us from the sheep for the Christ. Then Jesus says, there was one shepherd, there was one fold, there was one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And those outside of the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church governed by Jesus are those that he speaks of today. His sheep indeed in heart and in spirit, but perhaps not in fact. Them also he wants to call, and he wants to invite, and he wants to encourage to come over to the one holy Catholic Church that he has founded, in order that they might receive all the graces, all the sacraments, and especially all the merits of their good works unto their eternal salvation. Because unless they're of the fold of Christ, unless they're of his sheep flock, when they pass from this life to the next, they'll be found wanting. We ask Almighty God's grace, especially for those individuals who are not of the sheep flock of Christ, who may be good hearted, whose heart and spirit may be in the right place as far as wanting to please God, but may be confused, may be disturbed, or may be quite deceived by the wolves and sheep's clothing that go around about us today. We ask God's grace. As we ask God's grace for our seminarians, as we know as Father Kevin the Bolton, we have to look forward to the ordination of several more priests. In a few weeks, we have one of our own becoming subdeacon. One of the several priests will be our own here, resident from St. Joseph's Seminary. We especially ask Almighty God's grace that they be diligent and wise according to the wisdom of God. Not shallow, not light-hearted, but wise and prudent and virtuous and gentlemanly. And that they can continue in our footsteps, of our shoes, as we say, unto the next generation of grace to come. Yes, we shall meet our demise as we are getting older. By day, young ones are coming up and called by Almighty God to fill our shoes. We have to pray for them that they be found worthy to take up the cross of Christ, take up the challenge of our difficulties in this day of great apostasy, in order to champion the faith despite all the obstacles of the wolves of salvation, right? Those pretenders to the Christian life are numerous. And dear friends, we especially ask that those individuals who have been such wonderful examples can continue in their way to live, to guide and inspire and be good examples for those that are coming. We can count dozens and hundreds of priests who have laid down their life for Christ. As Christ laid down his life, so have the martyrs of Japan laid down their life for Christ, and the martyrs of Rome, and the martyrs, priests especially, and others, in the French Revolution, and in America and Canada, laid down their life for Christ, and those in the Mosque of Gulag, and those in the various other gulags of the common societies, laid down their life for Christ, we are told that when the Spanish became the Freemasons, they rounded up all the priests that had the wonderful reductions and the civilized Indians of South America. They rounded them up, number about 1,400. Half of those died in prison by the once Catholic Empire of Spain. Yes. Right, and good examples for us, isn't it? That we submit to those who judge us unjustly, as our good shepherd submit himself to those who judge him unjustly. Especially in the 1920s, 100 years ago, remember all those priests, 29 heroes of the faith in the Christ Eros movement, who laid down their lives for Christ, most notably Father Michael Trout, 100 years ago, yes, in Mexico, was in a revolt against the church and exercised martyrdom upon many thousands of Catholics who held to the Church of Christ very solemnly as good sheep, although they lost their lives. We think about these things. We think about Father Walter Chizak, who's in Russia, in Russian gulags in Siberia, for more than 23 years, laying down his life for his sheep, always wanting to get the Catholic faith established wherever he would go. We think about Father Bukharic, who 100 years ago, this last Easter Sunday morning, was executed, martyred, we say, on the steps of the Kremlin, out of hatred and despising Christianity. We think about those other holy individuals who laid down their lives, special priests and bishops, as well as lay people and sisters like yourselves, who proved themselves to be good examples to those who are following us. As my dear friends, we pray for our bishop today. We pray for ourselves that we may be continue to be truly Catholic in heart, mind, and soul, following Christ in every twist and turn of events. We ask especially for the grace that we need to be good examples for those who are not of the fold of Christ. May we be truly good examples to them, to invite them, continue by our prayers and our good example, to be one with us and the one holy Catholic man is all in church. Pray for them, pray for our bishop, pray for our priests, pray for our seminarians, and pray for ourselves today that we may continue to be one in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.